It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And what is going on? Well, as you know or don't know, I was in New York last week, and man, I'll tell you, if you ever want to live in New York, you better make a lot of money. I don't get it. I can't figure it. It's interesting that as Manhattan is an island, they are an island, and you know the cost to live there is ridiculous, and to sit in gridlock without being able to move. Fortunately, I've learned how to take the subway and move my way around and get through town. But man, I'll tell you, it's the prices. Every time you got to go out to eat, you got to bring your mortgage banker to finance a meal in New York. It's quite incredible. It's funny, but it does say something for the economy and where we're spending money. Now, I know obviously not every place is like New York, but you know, where are the average guys getting the money to live? You know, you look around, and of course we've got the continuing saga with Greece, which I don't think will ever be resolved. I think that it will eventually end in a Greece default. You know, as we've talked about a couple of times, there are many issues there in Greece, and one being that, you know, I think most of the powers that be would prefer to get rid of Greece from the euro because they really bring no added value, as we would say, to the economy, and of course with their entitled views of life. You know, you go to work at 21 and you retire at 22, not a bad way to go, but obviously there's always, as we're learning and noticing from the Fed, you know, if you haven't been through these types of things before, we call them unintended consequences of what's happening. And if you look at Greece, the unintended consequence of a Greek default might allow another struggling economy to take the same shot. Okay. You look at, they call them the pigs, Portugal, India, Greece, and Spain. And you know, Greece, again, in that equation, just purely by the numbers, financially, is no issue. However, Portugal and Spain and Italy are, and they do bring real value and real GDP to the economy. So, you know, but if you allow, or Greece somehow sneaks out, you know, without paying, basically, then, you know, is there another default on the way? Now, does that affect our markets here? And certainly, on its surface, no. However, you know, when we look at the stock market, and you look at actually all world markets right now, gold, equity, commodities, everything is really just stuck in a tremendously tight range. Nobody is out, you know, breaking out. None of the markets are breaking out one way or the other. Basically, we're in this churning. And what I always like to talk about when these things happen is that the market itself is looking for a reason to make the next big move. Now, you know, again, I don't hide. I tell you that I believe and have for quite a while that we are at the top or near a top, and that I would not take new money and put it into the stock market. And I believe that. Now, again, I would never recommend that anybody sell. to get out, I believe that you need to learn how to hedge, which is something that we're going to be offering as a new product. But back to Greece, the markets wait for reasons. In other words, for a major event to occur in the equity market, they are waiting for a major event to occur outside news, an item, something of that nature. So the Greek default could be the reason to push and force the markets lower all of a sudden. And again, if you remember and subscribe to the theory that we talk about here on the Bubba Show all the time, is that markets don't announce themselves. Markets don't tell you when they're going to make the next big move. I mean, you know, in 2009 when they were collapsing, they didn't tell you that that was going to be a V-shaped bottom, although there was a lot of indications that that could very well happen. And now there are a lot of indications that we very well could be at or near the top. But we don't predict markets. See, this is where you have to, you know, really take that discipline and say, okay, I'm going to wait patiently. Because the truth of the matter is that if you wait, you have opportunity. Now, you could be early and you could be right and you wouldn't have anything to worry about. However, for the most part, most of us are wrong and never timed correctly. And, you know, you talk about market timing. It cannot be done. Okay? Again, everybody gets lucky and makes a great call once in a while. But the evidence is clear. And the opportunities will be there. But your job as a investor or as a trader or as a combination of both is to wait for the opportunity, because they're going to give you, the markets will give you plenty of time and opportunity. They are not going back down in one day. Now, we could have one big day collapse, which we've had many times over the years. But always, they have always rallied back. So what we're waiting for and what we're looking to see is for the markets to break out to a trend. Breakout can be a breakout to the upside or a breakout to the downside. But for the past 6 months, we have been stuck really in just one big, wide, sweeping consolidation or congestion range. So it's not for us to pick the absolute top. It's up to us to be prepared for when the top is in. And the way that you do that is you hedge your portfolio so you don't care when the top is in, and you protect your portfolio overall to continue to maintain the net wealth that you have built from where you are. Now, it doesn't matter how much or how little money you have, because what you have is what you want to protect, and that's what you have to learn about. And by just liquidating out of your portfolio, that does not protect you. That takes you out. You don't want to be out of the market if you don't have to. And there are many ways to stay in with full protection that you don't have to worry about getting out. You don't have to worry about if it opens up 5,000 points tomorrow. It does not matter. And that is the important things of understanding the market. And those are a lot of the things that we cover in the Bubba Report. Now, we are coming into July. July will start Wednesday. And we have the new Bubba Report coming out for this month with great contributors like Scott Shalady from the CME, The Badger, Bonnie Pittenger on real estate, Keith Bliss from the New York Stock Exchange, Bubba, of course, Steve Kalasian, a 30-year trader, one of the biggest traders in the markets. So again, we're going to give you the best of everything and give you the knowledge that will help you make the best decision. We're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Go to thebubbashow.org and get hooked up with that Bubba Report. And we'll be right back.
Mud grips, white tip, cigar sticking out of my face, Earnhardt racing sticker on the window, banged up fender, 4x4 straight pipe roar, primer and rust all over the door, scarred up knuckles, mag belt buckle, white t-shirt.
Hey, Bubba Show listeners, You know how important education is to Bubba and how I preach that we need to learn and understand. Well, I've developed a high school curriculum for all of you educators out there that you can bring into your school at no cost to the school, which gives you everything from investing, from learning how to open up a credit card to a bank account, to all the way to trading sophisticated strategies. And you can work at your own pace. I have produced all the material that you will need to be a better teacher, investor yourself, as well as bringing it on to the young people of the world, because you know how important I do think that education is. I want you to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get more information, more detail. You can take a quick look at my site at highschoolinvesting.com, but email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org because I want to hook your school up and make you guys better and help you help yourselves while you're helping your students. Hey, Bubba Show listeners, have you checked out the Sunday night call yet? If you haven't, you're making a huge mistake, and Bubba's going to tell you why. Each and every Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the Badger and me break down trades for the week. We watch them, we manage them, we recommend them, we help you trade them, we help you become more successful. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I will send you a link to give you a one-month free trial and where you can check out 4 Sundays of what we're doing on the Sunday night call and decide if it's really for you. What you need to do is you need to email me right now at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I want to hook you up. I want you to be a part of my team. I want you to be better, and I want 2015 to be better than any year you've ever had. So email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll send you a link and hook you up for a free month of Sunday night calls. Traders, you have tried to rest. Now let's get to the best, and the best is Thinkorswim for your trading platform. They do it all. And not only that, but they've got so many exciting events coming up over the next couple of months that they are going to premiere here on The Bubba Show. I want everybody to be ready for those special events because Thinkorswim has everything the individual investor or trader needs. It sets you up. It puts you in a position. You've got indicators. You've got ways to track futures. You've got ways to track options. You've got ways to track volume. You've got ways to track volatility. They do everything. There is nothing for you. In fact, it almost trades by itself. But, of course, you're still going to have to make the final decision. But make sure you check out Thinkorswim through The Bubba Show. Just go to thebubbashow.org. Click that link, Thinkorswim. And we're going to take care of you because that's the software that Bubba and the Badger use. It is Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, the best in the industry. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz hanging out with my friend, Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report, seen coast to coast on many, many stations. You got to check her out. But Jane, you know, I was thinking about some things, and I go, you know, you used to be a member of the Chicago Board of Trade, correct?
I was.
And yes. Do you ever miss those trading days on the floor?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is no place like the trading floor of an exchange, and no place like, the stock exchange doesn't compare to the Chicago Board of Trade and the CME. They're like so calm and gentlemanly at the stock exchange, but, you know, it's an era that is probably never coming back, sadly. I've had lunch with some old-timers, you know, from both exchanges, and I've tried to convince them to write a book. And I was like, I'll help you with this. You can work on a book. You can tell. They have the most amazing, hilarious stories. And they tell me they don't really want to do it because they can't. So nobody will ever be able to relive those times. But you had to be there. And I was like, yeah, but you still should put those memories down, because someday we're all going to be gone, and nobody's going to know all the craziness that went on the exchange floors.
What were some of the craziest things that you remember from your floor days? Because, you know, you were on the floor when it was still really a floor. I mean, actually, you know, over the last, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, the floors have really been nothing anymore. I mean, they're really, everything's has shifted to the computer. But, you know, back in the day, I mean, you know, you made real markets and you had to make real markets, and it wasn't you know, quite so, you know, nice. And, you know, of course, in the pits where
it
could be brutal and fighting
the
people.
I saw a fight in the wheat pit at the Chicago Board of Trade. I mean, I think they were both fined $15,000 or something. And just, you know, the really great stories, though, from the Chicago Board of Trade about the 70s. I mean, people pulling up in limos. And some of it, like, you don't even know if it's just, you know, hyperbole or what exactly, because, you know, you hear stories of, like, guys in velvet jackets lighting cigars with $100 bills. I mean, during the commodity boom of the 70s, you know, and at the stock exchange, everybody had a nickname. There was a guy one time, a really annoying runner. I mean, I don't even know him. This is all, like, hearsay. Really annoying guy, annoyed everybody. And one time the lights went out at the New York Stock Exchange. And when they came back on, this annoying guy was on the ground. Somebody had hit him over the head with a stapler, and he was, like, out. And everybody's like, oh, yes, yeah, it must have been an accident. You know, I don't think to this day they know who did it. So it's just, it's just these funny, funny stories. And there's no place like it, no workplace like that, probably never will be again.
Now, what made you, Jane King, you know, you have a farming background, right? That was your family. And you went to the board. And you went to the Board of Trade, which is a natural switch. Although you did some stuff at the Marcus Wall trading currencies, but what made Jane King say, "You know what? I want to go out and be a media sensation versus a trader"?
Well, you know, if I could have done better trading, I might have stuck with it. But it's the hardest thing in the world. But that's a conversation for another day. You know, I think I just and really have the best of both worlds, because I do like the media as well. So it's a nice combination. I can still be around it. I can still, like, hang with everybody. But yet I don't have the pressure that the traders face on a day-to-day basis. It was fascinating. I absolutely loved it. I love studying the economics of it. But it's really a whole new market now, and it's global. And, you know, I've had, you know, friends that have traded grains and did very well. But then, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, they started to see a change in the market and started changing other things that they felt like they could read charts better. And I went to Euro dollars and other things like that. So it just wasn't the same market. But I think economics and business is fascinating. Global economy is constantly changing. I guess maybe it's my ADHD. It's, you know, maybe that's why I enjoy this stuff so much.
You know, do you have any opinion as to, you know, obviously you've mentioned this a couple of times, is the global markets. And, you know, I think that, you know, based on, because we are global and everything's basically now open, you know, 24 hours a day, right? I mean, almost every market trades almost all the time. Do you think that's good for the markets, or do you think that was a mistake for the markets, because it has reduced the amount of trade? And obviously, you know, back in the days, you know, you'd see a lot more limit moves, and now there's virtually almost impossible to have a limit move because pressure gets relieved all the time. Yeah,
it's probably good. I mean, it's not as, like I said, you don't have, you know, a USDA report coming out at 8:30 in the morning, and then the markets take an hour to react to it, and you may see, you know, limit moves for days. And so in terms of just, you know, price stability, it's probably a better thing. It's, you know, it gives people more of a chance to be in the markets. Now, if you're a person who is you can't hold a position very long if you're somebody who is looking at small moves. I mean, you'll never sleep. So you really have to change your trading style. There are a lot of people I knew, even when the markets were shorter trading hours, that wouldn't hold a position overnight anyway. So, but, you know, you look at Chicago Board, the grain markets opened at 9:30 and closed at 1:15. I mean, you know, it's how can you really have a good indicative price discovery when you're trading for just, you know, that short of a time, 4.5 hours a day?
So now that basically all of the pits have closed, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, all the open outcry futures pits have closed, and now the only thing that's left is the option market. Does it make you sad? Does it make you think of anything? You think it's better or worse for the farmers who this was originally designed for? I mean, that's how it all started, was the pits was to be able to, for a farmer to go ahead and hedge off his crop. Do you think this new format and new style, better or worse for the individual farmer?
Well, I know that for the person who was on the floor, and there were quite a few traders who also owned farms, they were probably kind of like me. I mean, grew up on a farm, inherited a farm, you know, or had families farming. And so they were tied into both worlds. And they liked the act of floor trading because they could tell a high volume just by listening to what was going on. They didn't need to look at, you know, a chart and see. They knew. Well, that, of course, all changed once everything became computerized. So for people who were on the floor, I think, you know, the computerized trading made them change the way that they traded into their business. And some of them, you know, didn't like it, weren't able to do it anymore. For farmers, I'm not sure that it really does make much of a difference. They tend to hold on to things for longer. They tend to plan, you know, like they've got, you know, the long corn in the field. They'll short November beans, or they'll short the beef corn or something like that. So they tend, you know, like I talked from experience with, you know, my brothers and dad. I mean, we'll check the markets. I think, you know, the local farm station will run markets in the morning and at noon, and it's closed, and they're fine with that.
Well, you know, now they do, you know, RFD TV, and, you know, there's a lot of commentary, and obviously there's a lot more information flowing out on those markets. But when I look and I go, you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes, you know, farmers make and people who have big long-term portfolios in the equity markets is nobody really understands how to hedge a portfolio and doesn't realize that you can actually lock in prices without giving up control of either your equities or your crop. What do you think about things like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, what I find so interesting is just how the markets just, and I guess this isn't anything new. This has always been going on. In fact, when I got into trading, my dad was like, the markets don't make sense all the time. he was kind of thought it was cool I was doing it, but I think he was also worried about my financial future. But, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the farmers, I mean, they just, you know, they watch the prices on a day-to-day basis. They don't really try to time the market. They're just basically hedging what they're doing. So I'm not sure that they're really impacted by the computerized trading. Now, some of the old farmers, of course, we know, like the average age of a farmer is somewhere around in the upper 50s. But they're pretty computer savvy still, but the young ones especially. I mean, I'm sure my nephews, I mean, they have their mobile devices with them. They're probably checking prices throughout the day and trying to decide what to do based on that.
You know, and it's funny because we are obviously in the technology age. Do you foresee the farmer the way we know it staying in business, or do you think that eventually all farms will be taken over by corporations and that'll be the end of the American farmer as we know it?
Well, we've kind of seen that happen already with livestock, especially. But the ground might be different. Now, one issue a few years ago when we saw farmland hitting record highs was hedge funds. And all of a sudden, you know, guys from New York and Chicago are flying to farm auctions and, you know, the middle of Iowa and bidding on farmland. So, but that's it's a little different when you're talking about that because farmland is hard to buy. And I've learned about this, like, through the estate stuff, is that it's not, you know, you don't just go out and buy 100 shares like you do a stock. There's 85 acres there, and there's 37.5 here, and there's a couple over there that came as part of this other farm. And so it's really hard, I think, to invest in farmland for somebody who's not used to it and hasn't grown up with it.
And there you go, a trader's perspective. Jane King, former trader, but really the media sensation, and we love having her on. Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report. Jane King, you are awesome. Thanks so much for being here. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back right after the break.
Margie said, Roy, you ain't listening to me. And I've got a whole lot more to say. Roy just crossed the floor.
Bubba Show listeners, you know what a big fan I am of Thinkorswim, the platform built by traders for traders. And you also know that Bubba can help hook you up. All you have to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is that through the month of January, every Wednesday night, Thinkorswim is going to have a special webinar. Whether you are a beginner or an intermediate, they've got two separate ones that will help you become a better master of the platform that you're using, which ties into what Bubba does here on the show every single day. So every Wednesday night, it's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Thinkorswim will offer a one-hour, either beginner or intermediate webinar that will help you become a better trader. If you want to get hooked up, just email me at Bubba at thebubbashow.org, and I will give you all the details of all the different webinars that Thinkorswim is offering. Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. What's up, Bubba Show listeners? Bubba here. You know, I've always thought of ways to better educate and better help the individual trader and investor, as well as some of the brokers out there. But one of the things I always found out was the lack of real good, solid information. You know, are you tired of the fear ads? Are you tired about the fear mongers grabbing out to you and telling you how the world is coming to an end? We all know that the market has had a dramatic run here, and at some point it's going to sell off and there's going to be a big correction, and we're going to have another bear market at some point. Does that mean you should pull your investing out? Does that mean you should change things? Well, Bubba has a couple of strategies to offer you, and we do talk about options protection for a long-term portfolio and how to keep you in the game. But one of the things that we do have coming out in the year 2015 is I have assembled a team of experts that are going to put together a monthly newsletter for everybody that will come out the first of every month talking about the overall market conditions, whether you talk about commodities, alternative investments, equities, oil, everything that you can imagine that you can be involved in. And we are going to do this each and every month. We've got the top guys in the business, Keith Bliss, Scott Chalady, myself, the Badger. We're all going to be writing and contributing to this particular newsletter. And this is something that will be each and every month. The first of the month will be delivered to you through email. We're going to be working on this. It's the subscription fee for this is $99 a year. You will get 12 issues loaded with strategies, webinars. You'll be invited to webinars. It will be the answer to all of your investing needs. All you need to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, I want to be part of that letter. I want to be ahead of everybody else, because you will be there if you do so. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org right now, and we'll get you hooked up. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. As we start to move into 2015, don't you think it's time you started to take care of your portfolio? Don't you think it's time that you decided that you were going to be the one in control? Don't you think it's time that you take control of your investing life? Well, Bubba's got just the answers for you. You know, if you stay with me on The Bubba Show, you know that I talk often about how to protect your portfolio, what to do. Well, now I'm going to make available to you some great trading tips on how to better improve your portfolio, how to better improve your trading performance. And all you have to do to get those is to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'm going to hook you up. Again, we're going to continue to build the website. We're going to continue to build the business. So all you need to do is email me to bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, I want some help. I want to be better in 2015. Email me, bubba@thebubbashow.org. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as we always have to get, the man, the myth, who knows all of the stuff of what's going on, and one of the top analysts on the street, Mike McClone, ETFSecurities.com. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Todd. Good to speak to you again. Thanks for having me back.
Listen, I would always have you back. You're a genius. I got to make sure. I got to keep my people who know what's going on. I mean, you know, you're always in the know, and, you know, I think one of the things that I question, and, you know, you've been through this, and this is, I think, something important for everybody to understand, is not only is Mike now probably one of the top research analysts in the country, or maybe the world, but you were also a trader, and you were on the floor, so you get that part of it. Have you seen, or do you remember in your recent history of almost every market across the board stuck in a solid consolidation range, and nothing is really breaking out with the exception of the bond? But the bonds, although breaking out and seem to be trending lower, are still really also in a range. Their range is just a little bit bigger. But do you ever remember seeing a market or a pattern like this?
Well, you used to, and when I first started in Pittsburgh, we used to call it the coiled up spring scenario. Now, of course, there's, you know, markets can mirror things that happened in the past, but it's not an exact image. And yeah, there's so many nuances going on. For instance, you know, one thing that's happened lately is, the good news about Greece is it's distracted the attention from the Fed. The bad news is Greece is a greater uncertainty. But the key thing I've been kind of narrowing on lately, and you and I discussed this a little bit, is this very stuck coiled up spring range in crude oil. It's been stuck at $60 a barrel for who knows how long. It's been basically trending down for a year now. Remember last year at this time crude oil was 100, now it's 16. We know what the trend is, but I think where crude oil breaks out of this coiled up spring might have a lot of repercussions for a lot of other markets. So, you know, for us and you know, for me as ex-trader and as a research analyst, I'm always trying to narrow it down to one thing that we really should watch that might give us a preliminary indication. And, you know, this is the world's most significant commodity. It's stuck in this coiled up spring. It's ready to go. And one thing we've learned also trading is oftentimes the first move is a head fake. You got to make it as difficult as possible. So we'll see where it goes. But, you know, come a week or two or who knows how long, once that market moves out of its range, which way it goes could have significant repercussions.
Okay, so now if you're a guy, and just give me an opinion, which in your gut, which way does it break up?
Well, I go with the trend. Trend's down, and you go with the fundamentals. Fundamentals remain very bearish. There's just an excess of supply. Demand's not doing that well, and look, the trend's been down. Why is it down? But for it to reverse and go up, you need a significant shift in the fundamentals, and I just don't see that. So that means it could be a little bit of a head fake. So trend down, why? Why is the trend down? Well, look at almost all the other commodities. I look at, like, copper has been going down. Corn has been going down. Silver has been going down. And even yields have been going down. Why? Because it's a deflationary global environment. And when you saw what's happening a little bit lately, we've had a little bit of a correction in the Chinese equity markets. And, you know, a lot of the incremental global demand for crude oil is supposed to be coming from emerging markets. And I think that premise that a lot of us analysts and a lot of people had expected, that this emerging market demand would boost commodities and things like, you know, crude oil, it's just not happening as much as we had thought. For instance, lately, the latest auto sales out of China have been really weak. They're only up 1% in June compared to May. Last May in 2014 compared to the previous May, they were up 14%. So to me, the trend is down. And what that should mean is if crude oil goes down, this whole premise that the Fed had, you know, collapse in crude oil was transitory and there's no inflation because it's transitory, that whole argument will go away. They wouldn't be able to say it's transitory anymore, the fact that we have no inflation.
Now, be careful, because you're proving my point on the Fed that they've done a crappy job. So be careful what you tell me here.
Yeah, I know. That's one of our favorite subjects. It's a good point, counterpoint for us, right?
I mean, they've done a crappy job. That's why we have the mess. You know, when you have every central bank in the world trying to manipulate their currencies, I mean, you and I both know one thing. I think we agree on this part of it, that free markets and free flow is really the way to go, and we're not getting that right now, which is why we're seeing a lot of the problems that we're seeing right now. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I agree, and the good news is the U.S. is a shining global star. I mean, if you look at auto sales, GDP last week came out a little bit better than expected. Some of the data was a little bit unexpected. One thing I really enjoyed, but the rest of the world is really getting hammered. And one way to look at that is you can trust the data, which I pointed out, a few auto sales numbers. You can see we've had downgrades of global economic growth estimates from the IMF and World Bank and all that stuff. But you can also look at coincident markets like commodities and like crude oil. The one thing that I was really impressed with last week, we had this number on consumer consumption. It was great. You know, the headline from Bloomberg said, consumer consumption was, you know, spending in the U.S. showed the biggest gain in almost 6 years. And that was because 1 month of May was up 9/10%. So as an analyst, I went back and I checked that. I checked that, you know, the trend in consumer consumption. It's very similar to what you and I looked at previously in retail sales. Overall, if you look at it on a year-over-year basis, it's running less than 3%. And historically, the Fed has never tightened rates when consumer consumption was running less than 3%. Because remember, inside that is also an inflation factor. And they've never tightened rates when consumer consumption was trending down. By the way, it's been trending down since 2011 when it was running above 6%. So, you know, you see the data, you see the analysis, and you have to go back and really dig in. It looks like we're showing signs of improvement. That's wonderful. But for us to get back to the good old days, like just 2004 and 5 when the Fed was tightening, the economy was really expanding, is just such a long way off. I'm still not there.
Not even close to being there. And, of course, we had last week we had the GDP. And, you know, okay, you can say it's not as bad as expected. But now this is one of the things that bothers me. We've still got a minus growth, right?
Yeah, Q1 growth, the GDP was revised to -0.2%. That's a key thing. The definition of recession is when you have two quarters in a row of minus growth. Now, everybody expects growth to increase and pick up in Q2, especially the Fed. And that's showing signs of being, you know, we all know it was a bad winter. It happened before. But to me, the trend keeps moving lower, which is this, you know, it's this new normal. And I think the key thing to remember from the Fed is this statement they made. And I can repeat it really quick. Everybody's expecting, they keep saying that when the Fed is going to tighten, the Fed has said, the committee anticipates that it will be appropriate to raise the target rate for Fed funds when it has seen further improvement in the labor market. Now, it has to see that improvement. That's what they said. And, this is a key term, and is reasonable confident that inflation will move back to its 2% objective over medium term. Right now, we have GDP running negative, and we have inflation zero. So the Fed's trying to be ahead of the game, and I just don't think they're getting the fact that this is a different game than it was 10, 20 years ago, what they learned in you know, economics courses.
Well, and again, as you know, my opinion is that you don't learn in economics courses how to operate in the real world. But, all right, so we know you had the Robini seminar or webinar. How'd that go?
That was good, right? We did a joint webinar with Robini. I thought it was quite good. We had a lot of interest, and they were very good on the global macro, and they nailed that pretty well. And I had some key takeaways from that. And one thing, my key was, and it's kind of things we discussed about, you know, we're all looking for this yield rally. And by yield rally, everybody wants bond rates to go up. And my thought is, that's wonderful. That's what people completely expected last year. And by the way, the trend in bond yields, lately they've been up a little bit. That's great, but overall the trend's been down. But to me, that remains the dream. I hope it can happen. It would be wonderful, but you know, it just hasn't. It has to sustain this rally lately. And if crude oil breaks back down, that's why I can kind of nail that. There's not going to be that inflation that we're supposed to see in a yield rally. So that was one of my key takeaways. And I think one of the biggest things is, you know, is we have to be concerned about volatility normalization. I mean, hopefully there won't be get much volatility coming back to the equity market, and that's why we just have to be very careful. We'll make sure we're well diversified, we're protected, and we have, you know, anticipating at some point that volatility will come back, which came back in China a little bit, but, you know, different market, different world, different environment. But sometimes they oftentimes go together.
I don't know. I look around, Mike, and I see nothing but everything deflating, including my bank account. And, you know, I don't see the great news on the horizon. And again, this goes back to, you know, when you try to take away the capitalistic free market system, you don't see good things happening. I mean, you know, explain to me where I'm wrong and why we're going to all of a sudden see a shift here when the Fed is still heavily involved and we're still just really trading the Fed.
Well, that's the problem. We're trading the Fed, but I think they're, in my opinion, they're doing the prudent thing, and that is they're warning us that they're trying to look ahead to inflation. They're warning us that rates should be higher, and they really should do that. They want to avoid a taper tantrum. They want to avoid excess volatility, and I just hope that happens. To me, that's the dream. If we can get this, you know, a good yield rally, we can get the economy to continue to just take off and run above 3 to 4, but 5-6% a year, which hasn't happened since, what, 2005?
Haven't had to catch up.
And that would be wonderful if that can happen. I just, to me, view that as the good old days that I just don't see yet. It would be wonderful that I just don't see it yet.
It hasn't happened since my bar mitzvah. I mean, you've got, again, and we're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break, but there's just too much, there's too many things and too many people. There's too many fingers in this pie instead of having what we really are. I mean, let's face it, United States, Americans are capitalists by nature, and that is what made this country better than everybody, okay? That's why we are the country of choice, is because you do have the opportunity in this country to become a superstar from nothing, and we no longer, at this point, have that opportunity. I'm with Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com, one of the sponsors of the Bubba Show, but also they have just great products. I mean, you guys got to check it out. I'm telling you that, and some of the things they have, you're going to want to put in your portfolio, because we've got some things coming on down the road, and their metals and ETFs, first of all, they're the best designed in the business, number one. Number two, it's something you're going to want to own, and you want to own something that you know is actually guaranteed and backed by the physical. Anyways, we are with Mike McClone, ETF Securities. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to step by here for a break. We'll be right back, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
south to the land of the pines and thumbing my way into North Carolina. Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours.
Traders, have you ever heard the term, there is no time like the present? Well, Bubba's here telling you there is no time like the present. The Badger and me have put together a series of webinars, a 12-week webinar package of teaching you options from the very beginning. In other words, if you don't know anything about options, it's for you. If you're very advanced in options, it's for you, because we're going to get to all of the strategies that you can possibly ever want to get to trade, invest, or protect your long-term portfolio. This will be a group that is a maximum size of 10 participants per webinar series, in which the Badger and I will teach you basically one-on-one how options work, how they trade, how they benefit you, and how to help you increase yield on your current portfolio or put yourself in a better place of trading going forward. All you need to do to get more information is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. There is a cost to this program, but email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and I'll give you all the information that you need to know. Traders, are you tired of all the fear propaganda out there? Just a few years ago, the dollar was no longer going to be the reserve currency. Are you tired of hearing all the crap from everybody who's trying to settle and peddle you fear? Well, listen to me. Bubba here has decided to assemble a staff of the top traders, and these are real traders, in the world, putting together a monthly newsletter for you, the individual trader, talking about what's going on in the markets, what we expect to go on in the markets, and how to help you profit from them. It's strictly going to be news related, telling you things we're seeing and things you should be looking for. Now, this is going to have a cost. It's going to be $99 a year. I've got the top experts in the world, all names that you will recognize that are all real traders. To get involved, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. The cost is $99 a year to get this monthly report every single month. So email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org. Advisors and investors, it's 2015. The stock market has not gone had a 10% correction for over 5 years. I think it's time for you to check out my friends over at Circle Squared Alts. At CircleSquaredAltsALTS.com. That's our friend Jeff Sika, who has an alternative investment strategy that will help you become a better investor, a better trader, and it's great at matching trader to advisor. We have a program that helps advisors and teaches how to hedge out a normal portfolio without having to get out of your portfolio. We also have advice for investors and how to direct them to the right advisor. So if you're an advisor or if you're an investor, you have to check out Circle Squared Alts, ALTS.com, my man Jeff Sika, and check it out, because I'm telling you right now, we all need more and a better way to trade and invest. Check it out, CircleSquaredAlts.com. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It's the argument show with Mike and Bubba. No, it's Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com, and Mike, I had something that really bothered me, and I want to get your take on it, again, as an analyst and as a guy who, you know, obviously you have your opinions, especially when it comes to the metal space. But one of the things that really bothers me now is, you know, we're in this minimum wage debate, which I think is total BS. Minimum wage, in my mind, was not to create a career. Minimum wage was first put in to help women and children because they were being taught as slaves and slave labor. And so that was a great thing. And they had a wage, so at least they had to make something. And now you've got, you know, of course, our fearless leader who's pushing for the higher minimum wage. And of course, the biggest first shoe to drop is Walmart. And so what's Walmart going to do now? They're going to squeeze their vendors so they can pay the higher minimum wage that they're going to pay. And of course, if you've ever been a vendor for Walmart, you know that if you take Walmart on as a customer, that basically that's your only customer, because not only do they squeeze you to every drop, but they make you hold your money. And they're actually basically what Walmart does with products they buy is they squeeze the money, and they're actually taking the money versus the product, because they're usually waiting to make 90. But my question, Walmart is going to squeeze their vendors. Now, what are the vendors going to do? They're not going to be able to hire people. They're going to actually have to cut down their workforce to be able to stay and continue to do business with Walmart. How is that going to affect the overall economy?
Well, that's the one issue that I always have. I think everybody deserves a decent wage. But the problem is when the government mandates a wage that might be considered above, you know, whatever normal levels, or anytime they do that, any business, any capitalist business is going to find ways to work around that. You know, I think everybody deserves a wage based on their training and certainly based on their efforts and how much they work. But of course, yeah, they're going to find ways around it. They're going to reduce employees. They're going to automate. I mean, this is one thing that's really happening. I have a very close association with because of platinum products is what's happening in South African mines. The union just mandated they have a big wage increase. So now what the companies are doing, yes, they'll pay the wage increase. In the meantime, they're doing everything they can to replace people with machines, which is a big problem. So to me, my thought is always, okay, I'm kind of in the middle of the road there, but the best thing we can do is help train and educate, train our people so they can go and say, they don't have to ask for a raise, they can go someplace else and get a better job. And that's one of my rules in life, is you should never really ask for a raise, you should make your employer feel guilty for not paying you more. The way you do that is train yourself and work as hard and be the best possible employee you can. And that's what always been my rule. But, you know, people have different skills and different abilities and they have different motivations. But I always say make that training accessible. So instead of increasing the wage, let's get you to step up. Instead of asking for, you know, go for $10 to $11 an ounce, how about if we get you some increased training so you can go from another job and get $20 an hour?
Well, I mean, and I agree. See, I agree. That comes back to the free market capitalistic system. See, I don't think there should be a true minimum wage. I mean, I have no problem that they have a base minimum wage to avoid, obviously, slave labor and avoid some of the immigration work that gets done here, because we know that the guys that don't have their green cards are working for less than minimum wage, and a lot of them are working for cash, and there's a whole other story there. But at the end of the day, don't you believe that it should be you, if you're a good worker and you're valuable to the company, you'd be paid more? And if you're not a good worker, then you shouldn't be paid more. And why should you be guaranteed a wage if you don't do the job?
Well, that's capitalism, basically. There's not much more to say. That's just pure capitalism. If you get too much involved in trying to mess with that, you end up with socialism.
Right. And that's,
then we know what happens there.
and that's what bothers me, because we're turning into a socialistic nation. So yeah. I look at gold. And gold has been, I can't believe it. I mean, it's been almost in a coma for months. I mean, basically, we're in that 1180 to 1220 range, a little bit below, but basically 1180 to 1220. And I know you and I are both a fan of owning some gold, and obviously we like to own it through ETFsecurities.com's ETFs. What are you thinking of gold here? Why is gold waiting on Greece? Is gold waiting for some reason, or is it just in this pattern? What's your take from a trader's perspective and then from an analyst perspective?
First thing, I view gold as pretty resilient. Year to date, it's essentially unchanged. And we've had a pretty substantial increase in the value of the dollar, which is usually a problem for gold. Gold will usually do much better when the dollar is down. So the dollar index is up 5%. Year-to-date, gold is essentially unchanged, maybe down 1%. But in terms of, like, the euro currency, it's up 7%. And, you know, over the last 2 years, in terms of the yen, it's up 18%. And that's the essence of gold. It's the quintessential quasi-currency. If we ever have any issues with inflation, currency debasement, or, you know, issues with the currency, gold should be the primary liquid alternative asset. I mean, it has a tendency to zig when everything else zags. And one of the biggest drags on gold this year has been this concept of the Fed saying they're going to tighten, and the market looking forward to tightening in a global deflationary environment. Generally, the only time the Fed should tighten is when they see pure good signs of inflation. That's why I read that quote earlier. They're just not happening yet. So that's suppressing gold, but I view gold as very resilient, very strong, and I think it's quite attractive at current levels. I can't pick a bottom. Who knows where it's going to go? And the way I look at it, 5 years from now, if the stock market continues to do what it's doing, that's wonderful. If we don't get deflation or even massive inflation and I lose a little money in my gold, that's fine. My house will do better. My stock market position will do better. But over the last 5 years, the returns we've had in equities are very much, most people know it's unsustainable. And I want that little bit of, it's just really supposed to add diversification. There's times to be overweight and times to be underweight. And I think 2011-12, you know, that's when times gold got a little expensive. You were probably supposed to lighten up. But now, precious metals, it's probably time to be looking to overweight a little and just buy a little protection. You know, just add and diversify your portfolio, and you're supposed to do it when everybody hates it and it's cheap. And that's where we are now.
And, well, I agree with that 100%. I mean, I believe in, you know, the endowment model where, you know, I don't want to make 50% of my money in 1 year. I mean, I'd like to, but again, I'd like to be equally diversified throughout my portfolio, because then I don't have to think about it every day and it's not that big a deal. And I'm not, you know, nobody should be investing for 1 week, 1 year, 1 month. I mean, when you're investing, you are investing for the long term. You're investing for that point when you get to your life. You say, okay, I worked hard my whole life. I put away X amount of dollars. And now I can kind of sit back and relax. And I've had all these assets that I've accumulated over time. And I get to now enjoy the fruits of my labor, right?
It will, exactly. And that's for gold, is essentially historically the quintessential, and I say one of the best preservations of wealth. But I always like to say, for longer term buy and hold investors, why just buy gold? It's like, why just buy one stock when you shouldn't really consider buying an index? Buy a basket of precious metals, but gold, silver, platinum, and palladium together, and I think you get a much better historic long-term diversifier for portfolios by buying the basket rather than just gold. Now, if you expect pretty significant issues with the global economy and you really want to just buy complete protection, sure, gold might be better. But if you expect longer-term demand from emerging markets and things like that, then the basket of precious metals will probably be a better way to go. It's also very attractive, I think, for longer-term buy and hold investors, because gold might be a little more tactical, but the basket of precious metals, which includes gold, silver, platinum, palladium, is really more, it's a good diversifier.
Now, give me the symbols of the ETFs that relate to precious metals for ETF securities. We know Glitter, Golf, Lima, Tango,
well,
Romeo.
GLTR is the basket. Our platinum product is PPLP. The palladium product is PALL. Silver is SIVR. And our gold product is SGOL.
And, I mean, you know, these are great products. And again, the beauty of the way that they handle, ETF Securities handles these ETFs, is they're backed by the metal, and you're not involved in some of the shenanigans that does happen throughout futures markets throughout the world, right? I mean, that's one of the key parts of your business, yes?
Well, exactly. That's one of the big issues. That I should have a research piece hopefully posted on your website in the next few weeks where I'll show comparing the basket of precious metals to commodities. And the big difference is when you have any type of exposure to commodities, you have to use futures and have to use derivatives, and they have to make sure those are managed properly. So I'll give you an example. Since the end of 2008, crude oil is up about 60%, but the number one ETF that tracks crude oil is down about 30%. Now, any type of ETF that tracks a physical metal, and the only ones that can do that are precious metals because they're cheap to store, which ours do. The only difference between your spot price and the actual price of in return on your investment is the expense ratio, which is generally pretty low. Like in our silver product, it's for each $100, it's 30 cents, which is about the cheapest that gets out there. That's for an entire year.
So I'm telling everybody, I'm telling you now, go check out ETF Securities. You know the symbols. You know what they've got. And I'm telling you that I've never found a better product for what you, my investors, are trying to do than I've found at ETFSecurities.com. Check them out. Mike McClone, you are always a treat to have on. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
This is Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horse. We will see you tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Quiet up, turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around. I want to feel it sway. I want to feel it sway. Put some feel good in my soul. Drink a little drink, smoke a little smoke. Want a little more ride.